Face out the system. Empower yourself. Grow food at home.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Grow Food at Home podcast, episode 4. I'm your host, Jack Sandquist. And today, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic that is really overlooked and not even thought about at all in today's society, but I think it's super important. And it's, does farming work with nature or against it? Does it coexist with nature in a beautiful, harmonious, symbiotic way, or is it destructive? I worded that second question and made it pretty obvious, but we're going to get into it. A lot of people think that farming, is just beautiful. A lot of people don't know how farming works. They see, plants and planting and harvests and all that good stuff, which I love. And, they think it's all natural. But I don't think they know how it works. And I don't think they know how nature works either, for that matter. You know, we're super disconnected. So I'm going to try to make it clear today how natural systems work and then have you understand how farming works as well. So we're going to get into that. And it's nobody's fault, but it's just not taught. And I really want to get the info out there because I think it's super important, our entire livelihood. And how we get our food we're all a part of it. So I really want to kind of crystallize the way it's being carried out. But today really the entire episode is about schooling yourself. And that's our third principle here at the Grow Food at Home podcast is school yourself. Our principles here, if you're just joining us, our principles are plant daily. I'm about to go plant some bok choy later. That's a must for me. Plant daily, support sustainable systems, huge for solutions to a lot of these problems. School yourself, get yourself to the next level, empower yourself. Be solution oriented. That's huge. And bring the good vibes. Yeah, so those are our principles. I try to embody those every day, so I'm really trying to share those with you guys because it's helped me, achieve more and all that good stuff and achieve more for the planet as well. So that's important to note. But today is the third principle, schooling yourself, which is huge for me. And I think it could bring you a lot of good stuff in your life, too. You know, I don't think the school systems prepare us for the real world. Call me crazy, but I think, they really just prepare us for ongoing domestication is the truth. When we're raised in schools, the way I remember it at least is it's like, sit down, be quiet, do as you're told, and only act when we tell you to act. But, the truth is in life, we have to initiate our actions in order to get anything done. If you wait for someone to tell you to do something, it's never going to happen. And you're not going to ever get anything accomplished. So I think it's really important to mention that and really just kind of show people that there is more information and more, we just have to tap into it. There's so many beautiful, there's so much going on today in this world and with the internet and with, podcasts and with, with all these technologies, we could really tap into some amazing knowledge and, anyone could get it too these days. You don't need a boatload of money. So it's a beautiful thing. So self-education has been huge for me. I heard the other day that it's about to be $1 billion a day industry. So people are starting to believe in it and put money into schooling themselves. Because let's face it, your kid's not going to get into stuff like, does farming work with nature and how should we best go about growing our food? That's not going to be a subject in school, And I think it's super important. And so I'm going to get into this this reading, and we're going to go more in depth on this farming work with nature or against it after this passage. But I think this is really going to give you kind of a good perspective. So yeah, I'm going to read this passage from Ishmael. And if you haven't read this book, I highly suggest reading it. Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. Super inspiring. It kind of just is a book about truth, and I'm into it. Yeah, I actually read this book in the Rocky Mountains when I was doing a backpacking trip, and it definitely blew my mind. They go deep. It is a fiction, but it talks about, you know, where humans come from and stuff. It's really interesting. So it's pretty much I'll give you a little premise. It's about a pupil learning from a teacher, and the teacher is a gorilla in captivity. So it's kind of different, but it's epic. So I'll just leave it at that. And they're talking about how things came to be the way they are. You know, history, pretty much. You know, the story we tell ourselves. And I'll just leave it at that. And I'll just read this little passage. And I really think it coincides with what we're talking about. Do we, you know, I guess the bigger macro question, do we work with nature or against it? So here goes. Man's destiny was to conquer and rule the world. So things came to be this way as a direct result of man fulfilling his destiny. Of course. And he had to fulfill his destiny, didn't he? Yes, absolutely. So what is there to get excited about? Very true, very true. As the takers see it, humans today is what the takers are. As the takers see it, all this is simply the price of becoming human. How do you mean? It wasn't possible to become fully human living beside the dragons and the slime, was it? No. In order to become fully human, man had to pull himself out of the slime. And all this is the result. As the takers see it, the gods gave man the same choice they gave Achilles: a brief life of glory or a long, uneventful life in obscurity. And the takers chose a brief life of glory. Yes, that's certainly how it's understood. People just shrug and say, well, this is the price and had to be paid for indoor plumbing and central heating and air conditioning and automobiles and all the rest. I gave him a quizzical look. And what are you saying? I'm saying that the price you've paid is not the price of becoming human. It's not even the price of having the things you just mentioned. It's the price of enacting a story that casts mankind as the enemy of the world. It's the price of enacting a story that casts mankind as the enemy of the world. Powerful stuff, man. So it's pretty much talking about how we've taken the position of enemies of the world, you know. And it makes things crystal clear when you're looking at agriculture today. It makes it crystal clear because being pretty destructive, there's not much connection today with nature, wouldn't you say? So I think that's an interesting passage talking about how the myth we tell ourselves, the myth that's taught in school, is man's destiny was to conquer the world and rule the world. When you really go deep, go to the freaking meat of it, you know, people wouldn't agree with this, but this is what we're teaching at the end of the day. And so things came to be this way as a result of him fulfilling his destiny and making it to where we're at today and all that stuff. And the reason I say this is because, I mean, I it resonates with me. And if you think that's a little too hardcore, I will agree this book kind of does make it a little way too black and white. But it proves a point. I really believe in that point is that we think we are the center of the universe. And that's just not the case, man. So we tell our, like, think about history when we were in history class, right? It all starts, what's the beginning of, you know, the story we tell ourselves? History is just his story. If you break down the word history, his story, it's just a story, right? And depending on the story, is is going to change the way you look at the world. So in history, when you started it, the first day we talked, you know, or the first lesson or whatever you want to call it, was Mesopotamia, right? Was where civilization started, our civilization. And what is civilization at the end of the day? It is pretty much humans creating a surplus through agriculture and being able to feed all these people and then make specialized labor and, you know, create a kingdom and, you know, having a... It went from hunter-gatherer, right, before civilization, where people just were responsible for themselves. And then it went to, okay, we created a surplus, abundance, through agriculture. And then it led us to where we're at today, where we just freaking, we took off technologically, you know. You know, and there's a lot of good things that come from that story as well. So I'm not hating on it completely, but I think what we were missing through these 10,000 years since Mesopotamia was, how can we create this abundance and preserve nature at the same time? How can we look out for Mama Earth and keep our connection from generation to generation with Mama Earth and still create abundance? And I think with the, you know, with what we've learned at this point, and at least what I've been learning, is that, With creating compost and, you know, and building soil and different, you know, syntropic methods and growing biomass. And we're going to get into all that in this podcast, you know. But here I'm just kind of breaking down kind of an important perspective. With all these new technologies, we are able to produce abundance and keep nature in mind and sequester carbon and all that good stuff. We are able to do it, but we need to teach these methods to farmers. Farmers are continuing to just grow massive fields of corn and just have a couple guys run it with the tractor, and it's awful. We have to change our ways quick. We really do. And I know everyone knows this in their hearts and in their guts, but I really just want to crystallize it today in this podcast. So I'm going to get into it. I hope you guys enjoyed that little reading. I'm going to do that kind of every school yourself segment. We kind of just wing it here at the Grow Food at Home podcast, but I hope you dig it because we go deep. So yeah, so the topic today, farming, does it work with nature or against nature? So you tell me based on the intro at this point, conventional farming does not. You know, a lot of new methods can work with nature. I've seen them in action at permaculture farms in Costa Rica and, you know, even here in Florida, I've been in a couple sites. It's possible. And I'm working on some right now in people's backyards. And I'm looking to do a large scale here soon in the future. So it's out there. But for the most part, where we get our food from, Chipotle, you know, fast food, the restaurants near you, grocery stores, it's way working against nature. And then let's even take it a step further, because we're all a part of it, right? Even me, I still shop at grocery stores, I get it. But we have to start putting our intention towards better methods. So, you know, what's a big problem today in 2020? Climate change, right? And I mean, whatever your stance is, I don't take a freaking political side to this. I think it's stupid to do on an objective topic. It's stupid. It's created division. But, you know, as a farmer, I've seen it has been hot. For whatever reason that is, I don't know. But a lot of stuff isn't losing leaves as it should. And, you know, whatever. The earth is constantly changing, and I get it, and I'm not a weatherman. But I will, you know, I will say... we need to do something about, you know, the greenhouse gas emissions and all that stuff. We have an effect, believe it or not, on the planet. We are part of nature. And sometimes we forget that. So that is a huge problem, climate change, right? Deforestation is a big factor in that climate change, right? What is causing the deforestation, right? The lungs of the planet, the Amazon rainforest. Why is it being cut down? Agriculture. Yeah, exactly. Cattle farming, right? Soy production. To feed the cows. They're clearing out all this freaking beautiful rainforest to grow soy, to feed to cows, factory farm animals, you know, and the like. So it's, you know, people tell me all the time, they're like, why? Well, don't we need big farms? Because we need to feed all these people. How can we feed all these people without big farms? And I tell these people, I say, well, we could feed all of these people with permaculture methods and food forests, as I've alluded to earlier. But we choose to grow what we grow because we want to eat factory farm burgers. That's what we, how we feed the nation. We grow actually way more than we could feed than people, you know, than the people need today. Even the 7 billion plus or whatever the number is, we grow way more than we need. But the problem is we feed all that food to factory farm animals. So it's just we're allocating our resources to unsustainable systems, which goes against our principles here. So if I'm painting a picture that makes sense here, I hope I am. And I hope you're understanding it, that when we start a farm, when you're starting a farm, when people start farms, the first thing they do, I worked on many, man. I know how it works. And I know the thinking that goes into it. You want sunlight. You want easy to manage systems where you could just, where it's not hard to work in. So you want flat, high sun scenarios. And what that leads to is when you go start a farm, you want to clear the entire space. That's how it works. And because it makes it easier. But easier isn't always best. That's what I've learned in my life. Easier isn't always best. So let's get ourselves thinking differently. So yeah, so I'll get into, you know, kind of a brief look at, you know, nature. I think we don't need much explanation on it. Kind of untouched landscape, I guess, is the compressed way I like to look at it as. But, you know, have you ever heard the insight, you know, nature is not in a rush, yet it accomplishes everything? That's kind of it in a nutshell. You know, it builds its own soil. It retains water. It doesn't need irrigation. You know, all of our farms, all of our landscapes, we have all these plants and we have all these, we set up these systems, quote unquote, natural systems that require irrigation. You know, forests don't need irrigation. Why are they doing their thing? Now, I will say we are getting, you will say, well, Jack, we get fires and stuff like that. And, you know, that natural fires have been occurring for a long, long time. I don't know a lot about California and Australian fires and whatnot. And I don't want to say anything, you know, in a space I don't know. But I do know that the more you cut down the rainforest, the less rainfall that happens, which, you know, which leads to drought and whatnot. So I don't know how that all coincides. But all I do know that nature regenerates itself at the end of the day. The earth wins in the end, you know, no matter how hard we hit it with problems. The earth wins at the end of the day. And I'm hoping the humans win as well. We could both win, you know. I would love that. You know, humans have been solving problems for a long, long time. And I really believe that we could continue solving problems. And you know, the fact that we got to the point we were at was based on the fact that we solve problems. It's really that simple. So it's cool to think that we can continue doing that and solve these bigger problems that we're facing today. So I have that belief. I heard that one time from this guy, Peter Diamandis, really interesting dude. And he's not at all in the grower realm, but I like transferring that belief towards you know, thinking about solutions for our food system. So yeah, that's just a quick thought, but I hope this was cool content. I really like going to these places. None of this gets discussed, you know. The state of the world needs to actually get discussed. There's a lot of nonsense out there, you know, with the news and nothing real. I don't think anything real really is being discussed. It's just a bunch of talking heads, and we talk about sports and political. It's just games. We talk about games at the end of the day. We don't talk about real world situations, and that's what I'm into. And you know, talk about where we come from and what our purpose is, and getting existential out here. So if you've listened this long, I feel like you feel me, and it's all good. I'm gonna keep it flowing. So I feel really good about this. However, I will be having guests on soon. I think that I'd love to get other people's perspective. The reason I've gotten to the point where I've gotten was that I've listened to mentors and other experts and you know, listen to what they had to say. So I want to bring them on here and give you guys the opportunity to learn from them as well. So that's really exciting. I got to line it all up. I do have a masterclass coming up if you're interested. And in South Florida, March 20th and 21st, we're going to have a two-day event, a total immersion workshop on how to grow food. It's going to be badass. You can register on our website, urbanabundance.com. So if you have any feedback or any ideas on you know, stuff I could talk about, any questions at all, please feel free to message me at my website or on Instagram. It's a real honor to do this, and I'll see you next time. Yeah, so let's create abundance together. Take care.